It's that time of year. I planned on giving you the fifth in the series of God Is, but I postponed it until next time because I was thinking through of things that I've been watching on the news, and I've been thinking through what we need as Christian disciples of Christ, as it were. And for those with titles, sometimes I give an introduction and I hide what I want to talk about, and then there it is. I'll just tell you, I'm going to talk about the spiritual tool of thankfulness. Now, we're going into Thanksgiving. It is one of my favorite times of the year. I am reminded of where I've been, where I'm going. I'm reminded, especially these days, of my youth when I tried to run away from this way of life. It wasn't my favorite idea to be a Christian, let alone in an organized church, the body of Christ, let alone being one teaching you. I hated to speak in public. It wasn't my thing, folks. I'm amazed I can even do this without my knees knocking today. Where I was headed when I was 18, I was 1968, it was the height of the Vietnam War. I seriously am a patriot. I wanted to serve my country, and I was headed to Vietnam. I am very grateful. I am thankful. God chose a different path for me, and he had to do it rather vividly and strongly to prevent the direction where I was going. Today's message is the spiritual tool of thankfulness. How thankful are we? And in what condition and what environment do we find ourselves to being unthankful? What do we have to think about this? During the discussion Jesus Christ had with his disciples, the question of identifying signs at the end time, it was Matthew 24, Jesus Christ gave a warning and a dissertation on the events of the end time. In Matthew 24, he said, don't be deceived. There'll be deceivers proclaiming Jesus to be Christ. You know, they're pointing to the right Christ, but with a wrong message. They're saying he is the Christ, and that's his message. Don't be deceived with that. But what's going to happen during the end time? We're going to have wars, rumors of wars, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. I mean, how often did we read Matthew 24 and scare ourselves? I know that was one of the important things when I was being called to read that and say, whoa, I need help because that's dangerous. And of course, how many of us seen Basil Wolverton's artwork that got your knees knocking? Because he would take the words out of Matthew 24 and then draw them. Of course, he was a little on the outside because his artwork also went to Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine. That discussion of the prophetic events talked about what the events were taking place. But what about people? What about the human being? What's going to be at the end time? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Last week I had a delightful conversation with someone who found the church on the internet and joined us for Sabbath services. And he said one of the really endearing things, not endearing things, he didn't use that term. One of the things that he was impressed with is that we ask you to turn to Scripture. He says, you ask us to bring a Bible. You want us to read the Bible? I said, absolutely. Because it's not my words, it's the words of God. If I speak, I will tell you it's me. If I'm giving you my ideas, I'll tell you it's my ideas. My ideas barely got me this far. God's word will get you to eternity. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Without the light, I can't read it. Okay. 1 Timothy doesn't work. That's why it didn't look right. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, Jesus Christ discussed that. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, violence, upheaval. We read that every day. We see that in the news. For men, now here's the condition of the human being. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. We see that constantly. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. There is an attitude that leads to actions at the end time. In this small description of what the attitude of human beings is that one word, people are going to be unthankful. Even right now, as we go into the days of Thanksgiving, the great controversy right now in the news is whether or not Black Friday is important. People say, well, you shouldn't work on Thanksgiving. Well, you know who does work on Thanksgiving? The police, the fire department, the ambulance drivers, the first responders. I mean, they're working. But the focus was not on the Thanksgiving, but whether or not Friday should be a work day. Whether Friday should be people buying and selling instead of being home watching football. It used to be Turkey Day or Football Day. People forgot the meaning of Thanksgiving. People here during the end time are unthankful. Unthankful. For today's message, that one point sticks out. Being unthankful. Society is unthankful. It's me first. I'm due. You owe me. And if you've given to me, you haven't given me enough. This is a universally growing telltale trait of people unfamiliar with God's word. People being unthankful. Being thankful one of the many identifying marks that a Christian carries. When you thank people today, it surprises them. When you are thankful for even the smallest kindness, it surprises people. We're going to get into what being thankful does for you as a person and why is it such a strong spiritual tool. We'll get into that a little later. In God's word, being thankful may be considered a major theme, especially in the Psalms. You know, David wrote constantly about being thankful, constantly about proclaiming the praise of God. Often, giving praise and being thankful are interchangeable. I find that sometimes when I'm running myself, sometimes when I just run headlong into a brick wall without my helmet, the only way for me to pick myself up is to be thankful for what God has given me. The intangibles. I'm not talking about the clothes or the food or the house. I'm not talking about any of that because all that goes away. I'm talking about His Spirit. I'm talking about His plan. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about His body. I'm talking about you, relationships that we have for one another, the intangibles that only come from God. We know that physical things go away. One of the discussions I read recently was, are you thankful just because you have things? What about if you have nothing? Can you still be thankful? Well, the answer is, yeah, Job had everything taken away from him. Well, I didn't plan to do this, but let's go to Job 1. Let's go to Job. My trouble is when I start doing this, I have no idea where I'm going to end up. But what happened? Here, Job is sitting. He had everything taken away. He understood the Creator gave him blessings. And he understood the Creator can take them away. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the girl, the Lord. I am thankful. I praise God's name. Regardless whether I had things or they're gone. You know, it's not interchangeable to have a relationship with God only because He gives us stuff. We have to have a relationship one-on-one with God, regardless of our physical condition. Regardless of our physical condition. David wrote constantly about being thankful. This theme is throughout the book. And we can go to 1 Thessalonians, my text for today. My text for today, 1 Thessalonians 5. Didn't think I'd ever say that. My text for today. 1 Thessalonians 5. The longer I'm in the church and the more I see God's people go through trials with such power, such positiveness, such faith in tomorrow, I understand this scripture better and better. Because it's not what we have today, it's also the vision of tomorrow. It's also the vision of tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. How are we doing? Just saying. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Here comes the hard one. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Uh-oh. Fred's gone from preaching to meddling. Everything. In everything, give thanks. The word everything in the Greek is pas, P-A-S, and it means all, any, every, the whole. It means thoroughly, whatsoever, the whole, whosoever, literally nothing left out. In my own words, as far as the dictionary and definition of a word is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whatever's in your life, be thankful. The other word in this scripture that's important is the will of God. This is the will of God. The word will is thelama, and it means the determination, that is, a choice, purpose, decree. It's an inclination, it's desire. It is God's desire that we be thankful for everything. It's that important. It is that important to be thankful for everything. Over the years, many have wondered what the will of God is. I know I did. When God first called me, I thought, send me on a mission. Well, no, I actually didn't say that until I was deeper into it and still very immature. But how often I wanted to have God say, yeah, go do this. I could do that. I wanted to do something. I wanted to experience the trial of challenges and deprivation on behalf of God and His plan. I'm ready for it. No, wasn't. How often we might want to ask God, what is your will for me? I'll just tell you very simply. The will of God is much simpler than that. God wants us in His kingdom. His will is for you to be in His kingdom. God wants us all to have the mind of Christ active in us. Philippians 2. He wants us to think as Jesus Christ. He wants us to have the mind of Christ so that we can be in His kingdom. That's His will. God wants us to be part of His kingdom. God wants us to be thankful. And He wants us to be thankful for all things. And that's hard. Believe me, it's hard. Being thankful is a remarkable command and made much more so because it's God's will for us today. Well, we're going to explore the concept of being thankful more thoroughly as we learn to become more like God and Jesus Christ in our thinking, in our actions, in our daily life. The series of five is Be Like Our Heavenly Father. And this is what He wants us to do. This is part of what He wants us to be, is to be thankful. Definition of being thankful, or definition of thankful, from Merriam and Webster, is to be conscious of benefit. Conscious of benefit. To be appreciative, to be filled with gratitude. And or to be pleased and relieved. Sometimes we're relieved that something has taken a burden off of us. But I like the idea of the first definition, and that is to be conscious of the benefit. Can we be thankful for all things? I've used this example before. I'm going to use it again. Well, God repeats himself throughout the book because we don't get it the first time through, thankfully, so we go over and over it. But I want to give you a summary taken from the book called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. You've heard of Corrie ten Boom, yes? Pretty much, yeah. A lot of nods of heads, yeah. It was a personal narrative of a Dutch gal who was caught up in Hitler's war. She and her sister were very gregarious in helping with girls' clubs and dealing with mentally challenged young people. And the Ten Boom House, they created a special room during the occupation, a secret room that they, for 4 years, were successful in helping Jews escape the tender mercies of the Nazis. They were caught and thrown into prison. And Ms. Corrie ten Boom and her sister were finally thrown out of prison and taken to a concentration camp in Ravensbrück in 1944. They were thrown into a barracks built for 400 people, and they crammed 1,400 people in there. They were able to smuggle a Bible in there, and Betsy, her sister, challenged Corrie, her sister, on 1 Thessalonians 5 to be thankful for everything. And, yeah, right, going to be thankful for everything. What can we be thankful for? And they argued, seemingly, well, we can be thankful we're together. You know, she grudgingly said, yeah, we can do that. Ow, something bit my leg. We can be thankful that we were able to have a Bible with us because it should have been confiscated. Yeah, we could be thankful. Ow, something bit my leg. We could be thankful that they had peace in their barracks. They had more freedom than the other. Ow, something bit my leg. Well, the mattress is filled with fleas. Well, Betsy said, we'll be thankful for fleas. Yeah, right, we'll be thankful for fleas. Well, it turns out that they were going to be very thankful for fleas. They were in a concentration camp. They were in prison. They had no freedoms, and yet they had more freedom than other people. And she writes in her book from Betsy, Betsy said, you know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room. She said, well, I found out. That afternoon, Betsy said there'd been confusion in her knitting group about sock sizes, and they asked the supervisor to come and settle it. Come into our barracks and settle this issue. She continued, quote, but she wouldn't come into the room. She would not step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy said Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice because she was the one who said, we're going to be thankful for everything. Because of the fleas. That's what she said. That place is crawling with fleas. And it kept everyone out. It kept the guards out. They experienced they had the fewest experience of abuse and torture because the guards did not like going into the barracks room filled with fleas. They were free to read the smuggled Bible. They were free to sing hymns to God because of fleas. I went into a room one time in a garage, and all of a sudden I heard these little popping sounds. Fleas everywhere. And just pop everywhere. It was my garage and I had to bomb the thing. I was helping some stray cats and woo. You go in there and you hear these little rustling sounds and Fleas were everywhere. Fleas were everywhere. I hated to go in the garage until I bombed a thing. She used 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to be thankful for everything. Not just for the pleasant things. Not just for the good things. Not just for the convenient things. But for everything. The two girls searched for what they could be thankful for. And that was important. Corey was released. She later learned she had been released by mistake. A week after her release, all the women in her age group in the camp were killed. And she spent the remainder of her life writing and visiting troubled people, teaching forgiveness. Apparently there's a movie called The Hiding Place that was released in 1975. And Miss Corrie ten Boom died in 1983. Real person. Look it up. We can be thankful even for fleas. We can be thankful for all things. The inconvenient, the convenient, the good, the bad, the ugly. Even fleas. I feel a little itchy. But it's interesting. It's more than interesting that God commands us to be thankful. And what I want to do is rehearse some of the understanding and our attitudes that David had and the psalmist had and those who gave us this book in talking about being thankful. And then we'll talk about why God wants us to be thankful. Let's go to Psalms 100. I'll have Psalms 100 I'll have Psalms for 100, Alex. Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a wonderful thought that we are his sheep. He is our shepherd, that he made us. He is our creator. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Wouldn't it be strange if what we believe as far as physics concerned was capricious? Gravity worked today, but not tomorrow. God's truth works for all generations. God's mercy endures for all times. Psalms 105, verse 1. Psalms 105, verse 1, a few pages over. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. When we talk about how God worked changes in our lives, we would be thankful. Even as I said that, I run a movie projector in my head. And I see things when God intervened in my life. I don't have time to even begin to tell you. And everyone here has a story on where and when God intervened in your life. And how thankful you were for that moment and where you are today because of it. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His works and the judgments of his mouth. Remember. How often we're asked to remember. We'll touch on that in a little bit. About remembering. But when we're thankful and we remember where we were, and I do, and where I am today, I am thankful that the journey I'm on has made a big change. Way back in 1964, 65, 68, 70. 74. Can't even begin to tell you the changes that were made. I call it I guess that isn't so much capricious serendipity. Managed serendipity is what I call it. Someone was looking out for me. Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. There's a theme taking place here. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. How often I felt, why doesn't God just squash me like a bug? You know, where I find my head going. It's because he's patient. He's filled with love, and his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who's by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures for heaven forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. There's a song here. This is a psalm. This is poetry, probably set to music. To him who made great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule the night, his mercy endures forever. There's a discussion of God taking Israel out of Egypt, and his mercy endures forever. Verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, regardless of what Goliath is facing us, regardless of what difficulty we find ourselves in, who rescued us from our enemies. His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. There's a theme. Give thanks to God. He is merciful. Colossians 1. Let's go to the New Testament. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Father who has qualified us, and that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, took away our sins, took away the debt that we owe for sinning. We can thank the Father who, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him, and belief means action, should not perish but have everlasting life. How important that is. Colossians 1:12. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The power of darkness. Satan is allowed to live, to practice, to exist in darkness. That's where he lives. And God has conveyed us, moved us, removed us from underneath the hand, the thumb, the oppression of Satan. And we now live according to the light, the life of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's exciting. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Follow his steps. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in the life of Christ, living his life, walking with Christ with thanksgiving. Wow, with thanksgiving. How hard is that? Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. How often my early prayers, and sometimes I forget myself and I go before God, I'm on my knees, there's a spider in the corner, and I'm praying to the spider because my words don't get past the ceiling, because it's all about me, it's not about God, it's all about me, it's not about God's will. And then I turn my heart around and I start thanking God, and I remember all his blessings that he's poured out upon me. And my prayer turns into thanksgiving. And I ask His will in my life with thanksgiving. And I ask, according to His will, what is right for me with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. And this is so important in the world we live today. I was chatting with someone who was nervous about the ISIS wanting to come to the U.S. and those who might be already in the U.S. wanting to cause disruption and death and mayhem. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. First, back to Timothy. Everything, be thankful. Same word. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We go to our God, our Creator God. We go to God, Jesus Christ at His right hand. Our salvation is there. Every time we go before God, we should be thankful. And whatever we bring to God, it should be done through and with thanksgiving. How often thanksgiving is being mentioned? Being thankful is mentioned. There's just got to be a reason that we do everything with thanksgiving. You know, back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where we are to give thanks for everything. And that's an attitude of appreciation, an attitude of appreciating God, an attitude of appreciating Jesus Christ, an attitude of praising Him. And that's His will for us, having an attitude of thanksgiving. Wow, you could say, well, wait a minute. On the surface, some might wonder, if God is all-powerful, all-knowing, why does God need our praise? Why does God need our thanksgiving? Is God the type of God, small g, that whenever we get down on our knees, we start praising Him and talking about praising Him and thanking Him, that He says, yeah, right on, you bet, I deserve it. God wants us to thank Him for His benefit? Is that what He needs? Does God need our praise? Does God need our thankfulness? Does God need us to say, thank you, Father, for all things you've given to us? No. I speak as a fool. God commanded us to be thankful because we need it. Because it benefits us. Because thanking Him benefits us. Praising Him benefits us. Having given us the right attitude to worship Him. To grow. It's a spiritual tool that defends us against these satanic attacks that allows the root of bitterness to grow in us. In an article titled Reason to Give Thanks, published in November of 2009 by Clay Rutledge in Death, Love, Sex, Magic. I'll just read one quote here. On Thanksgiving, many people have the tradition of sitting around the dinner table and taking a few minutes to reflect on and share with others what they're thankful for. As a psychologist, I was curious, is this just a nice tradition or is there some social, personal benefit to this type of exercise? Of course, it is a nice tradition. However, after investigating, I discovered it is personally and socially advantageous to be thankful. And I'll summarize here. There was a number of experiments that were done that showed evidence of gratitude leads to positive psychological, physical, and social outcome. This is a scientific approach to being thankful. We're not talking about physical things taking place. We're talking about an attitude in the mind. That the experience of gratitude leads to positive psychological, physical, and social outcomes. In general, the participants in the study who were asked to think about what they were grateful for compared to control condition participants experienced greater levels of optimism, positive mood, and feelings of belongingness over the period of study. That is, experiencing gratitude promoted psychological well-being. Further, in one study, these participants reported fewer physical illness symptoms and indicated spending more time exercising. This suggests that gratitude may also promote healthy living. In addition, these participants were more likely to report helping someone with a personal problem or offering emotional support to others. In other words, their words, gratitude may also motivate pro-social moral behavior. They also used these experiments on individuals with neuromuscular diseases and found that it raised their level of positive mood, lower levels of negative moods, and they reported sleeping better, physical changes that took place. They also noted that those around them noted the changes in that individual and also felt the same experience. Spouses and partners of participants in the gratitude condition observed higher levels of positive mood and lower levels of negative mood. In other words, the benefits of gratitude were noticeable to others as well. Another study that was done in 2009 by Florida State and Yale Universities, they came up with similar results. I was going to read it to you, but I decided don't need to. Just say the results were the same, only in different words. Different words. Their summary: the researchers posed three possible explanations for this as a hypothesis. It's math. Hypothesis. For further study. First, verbal expression of gratitude acts as a communication to the expressor, reinforcing his or her desire for and belief in the communal strength of the relationship. When I express thankfulness, I'm also strengthening the bond in our community. Second, expressing gratitude can be seen as a responsive action directed toward the partner, indicating that one cares enough about the partner to reassure that partner that his or her actions are appreciated, appropriate, and desired, which again reinforces the expressor's feeling for the receiver. I express thankfulness to you. I am building that bond between us that I appreciate what you've done, that what you did was appropriate, and we're on the same page. And then third, the act of expressing gratitude is likely to have an impact on the partner and encourage supportive acts, so that my appreciation to you would cause you to respond with appreciation as well. One of the things at work that I did not like about myself, and I tried hard, I like to give as God has given, and that is full, overflowing, more than asked for. But when someone just takes me for granted and just demands stuff from me, I give just what is needed. And I hated that about myself. And I learned, regardless of their response, I had to be me, because I didn't want to be two different people. I like to be appreciative. I like to give thanks. One of the things I learned from my girls, Tam and Trace, were waitresses. And they taught me about being thankful to the waitress who didn't serve the food late, who didn't serve the food incorrectly, who didn't serve the food cold. They were just the servers. They were the intermediary between me and the kitchen. They're also some of the most underpaid, underappreciated people. And one thing I learned too is if I'm out for breakfast, when I travel, I overtip. Because those gals and guys are trying to have an income just as much as the people in the evening. But if I have a meal for breakfast and a meal and a dinner, you know, the cost is probably hugely different. And if I only pay a tip on the price, I like to overtip. That's an aside. Just saying. It's interesting that these humanistic studies who looked at happiness, an intrinsic concept of the human being, who looked at the inside of their being, their studies are discovering what God has told us. Being thankful has value. Being thankful has value. The world thrives on the negative. It hones in on what's down. It hones in on what's wrong, missing, angry, hostile. Take a look at your news. They don't report everything that's happy and good. They just want to report what titillates the mind and gives you what is difficult. Oh, the world is in such a mess right now. Rick Hansen, a neuropsychologist, he authored a book called Hardwiring Happiness, The New Brain Science of Contentment, Calm, and Confidence. Quick quote from him. He opines, he gave his opinion, our brains have a natural negative bias, and that we have to train them, our brain, to focus on the good. We have a natural bent to be negative. We have a natural bent to be down. We have to train ourselves to think about what is right and good. Oh, where do we go for that? Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Whatsoever things are right. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are in the future yet to come. How important that is. Philippians 4:8. The world thrives on the negative, hones in on what's down, wrong, missing, angry, hostile, focusing so much on the negative that there's no room for thanksgiving, no room for being thankful. These studies show that expressing gratitude, being and expressing thanks, has a positive effect on any relationship. Being thankful is God's will. Being thankful is for our benefit. God doesn't need our thanks, but it's His will that we be thankful for our sake. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. When we pray, how much time is spent thanking God, expressing appreciation versus, this is my request. I got my list here. It's like sending a letter to Santa Claus. This is my whole list. I want. Ancient Israel had a problem. They forgot their God. Deuteronomy 8. This is written while Israel is still in the wilderness before they went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Wow. Remember, this is what was taking place here was after 39 years plus of wandering. Great natural resources are available to them. When you have eaten, verse 10, and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. You're going to thank Him. You wandered for 39 years. You wandered at my whim. When the cloud moved, you moved. When the pillar of fire moved, you moved. When it stood still, you camped. I fed you for all that time. Now I'm going to give you this beautiful, marvelous land. When you remember where you were and when you remember that you are now with God here in the new land, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. You'll give Him thanks. So that, verse 11, so my favorite idea is, so that, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Once you're full, I want you to thank me. Why? So that you don't forget where you were, where you are, and who is your God. God ties an attitude of thankfulness with not being forgetful. And unfortunately, ancient Israel promptly forgot their God. This is a sadly interesting point because it seems like every time God is giving these instructions, when God was giving these instructions, what was happening every day here? What happened every day? 7 days a week, week after week, month after month, year after year. Israel experienced a miracle 7 days a week. 6 days they could go out and gather manna. The seventh day of the week, there was no manna there. There was twice as much on Friday. They experienced a blessing every day of the week. 7 days a week, Israel experienced God's miracle. And yet, God turns around and says, "You've forgotten me. You've taken me for granted. You now expect, you think it's due. I owe you," is the attitude. "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today." And they pretty much did right away. They forgot God. That's part of the message of the book of Deuteronomy. You've forgotten God. Deuteronomy is the book of the law. It's a big part of life, not forgetting God. And a big part of not forgetting God is having a thankful attitude, having an attitude of being of thanksgiving. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is an identifier of being Christian. Being unthankful is an identifier of the end time. We're to be thankful for everything, everything, everything. I did read 2 Timothy 3, didn't I? Sometimes I surprise myself. I think I did. 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, I did. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but because futile in their thoughts," I need new glasses, "but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And that's where we are today. I was thinking about this scripture this morning. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Can you think of a being who knew God and didn't glorify God and, shall we say, Lucifer was created perfect. This created being was perfect. Had an attitude not of thankfulness, but of envy and pride. And that envy and pride built into bitterness to the point where he rebelled against God, taking a third of the angels. He had sway over the angels. Being unthankful leads to bitterness. Being unthankful leads to bitterness, and the root of bitterness leads one to destruction. This scripture so reminds me of that being who was so perfect, who was so unthankful, who became so bitter that he rebelled against God. Lacking thankfulness can blind the mind to God, can blind the mind to his plan, even to his existence. Lucifer knew God. Being unthankful took him out of the world of God and put him into darkness. Luke 17. Luke 17. Here's a caution. Verse 11. "Now it happened as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And we know through the Psalms, God's mercy endures forever. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. As they're on their way to see the priest, the leprosy that was on them disappeared. That would grab your attention, wouldn't it? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Sometimes people's thankfulness is almost an inverse proportion to the blessings they've received. One person turned around. One person came back, and it was a foreigner, a Samaritan. People's thankfulness can almost be an inverse proportion to the blessings they've received. The more people have, the less they're thankful for. And the less people have, the more they're thankful for. If you've ever been to Africa, and I haven't, they have virtually nothing compared to what we have, and yet they're happy. They can be happy with what they have. They can be thankful for what they have. One of the most startling things I've seen on the internet, and of course, the internet doesn't lie, but it was a series of photographs of 1 week's supply of, I think it was a week's supply of food from the various countries. And Germany had a huge table load of food for their family. And it kept getting smaller and smaller. And by the time you got to Africa, it was just subsistence. And yet, there was still happiness and thankfulness for what they had. It's not about the things in our lives that make us thankful. It's not about the things in our lives that make us worthwhile. It's what's in our mind and being thankful to a Creator God who has a plan for everyone to be in His kingdom. It just seems that sometimes the more we have, the less we appreciate. Of course, there is that exception from the book of Job. Everything was taken away from Job, and he had a lot. He had a huge trial, and in the beginning of the trial, Job's reaction was correct. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to go out with nothing. Can't take it with me. No matter how much I put in the grave, because someone will come along and take it away. The Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thankful for the name of the Lord. When it comes to having something to be thankful for, we're thankful for what we have. Not unthankful for what we don't have, can't have, or what's missing in our lives. We're thankful for what God has provided so that we don't forget Him. Back when the lottery was first out, God, let me win the lottery because I could do a lot of good with this. Now, how often people say that? I'll do a lot of good with you. Just let me win the lottery. Just let me win the lottery. Well, God has an answer to that. Proverbs 30. David understood a serious point about having too much. Because sometimes when we have so much, we forget our God. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. I mean, there's sometimes we say, well, the Scripture says this, and therefore it must mean that. And we go off on a tangent. I'm not going to go there today. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be pure and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't give me so much that I did all this. I don't have to thank anyone. Don't make me filled with poverty that I wonder, where is God? Give me what I need. We appreciate what we have, and we're thankful to God for what God has provided, and we're thankful for the situations we were allowed to go through. Even if for that moment those are difficult times, we're thankful also for the situations we didn't go through. I'm very thankful I did not go to Vietnam. That would have been quite a trial. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed is the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. Daily loads us with benefits. What a thought. We can be thankful for the daily arrival of benefits. Well, the question is, you know, kind of which? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives our iniquities, who heals our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. When we look at the benefits that we have daily, and regardless of our situation, we have today to grow in grace and knowledge, because tomorrow we have the plan of God enacted. We have a future for eternity. He has redeemed us from destruction and given us loving kindness and tender mercies. We can be thankful for the daily arrival of benefits. That he loads us. I love that phrase. That he loads us with his benefits. Philippians 2. You'd be happy to note I'm running out of notes. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Hard sometimes. It's hard. But so that we are blameless, harmless, acknowledged as children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And we shine as lights when we do that. We're different people when we are thankful. Not grumbling is not an option. It's not a suggestion. Paul was commanding to be a non-grumbler. It's part of a believer's continual response. And we have to consider, when we murmur, and you think back to Israel coming out of Egypt, murmur, 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 murmur. That's what they did. I mean, murmur, murmur, murmur. When we murmur about our circumstance in the final analysis, we are murmuring against the one who allowed the circumstance to take place in our lives. And he may be allowing something for us to grow. Or he may be allowing something in our lives so that we can show someone else how to grow. Or he's allowing something in our lives so that we can just demonstrate God's Spirit to a world that is void of hope. We need to view the adverse circumstances through eyes of faith and an eternal perspective, asking the question, is God still on his throne? Well, of course he is. Then make the self-chosen path choice to give thanks to God in everything. Thanksgiving can also be considered, being thankful, not Thanksgiving coming up, but being thankful can also be considered an excellent antidote for anxiety or worry, as we understand from Paul's in Philippians 4. I think I've already done that. I'm repeating myself. I am. God tells us to be thankful for all things. He tells us to be being thankful is the will of God for all things. There are no exceptions, no waivers, nothing left out. Therefore, being thankful must be a way of life. And he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. Colossians 3, one page over. Colossians 3, verse 12. Again, these are the identifiers of us as Christians. These are the identifiers that identify us as being followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. Therefore, as the elect of God, this is part of our calling. This is who we are. Holy and beloved. We will get to being holy in 2 weeks. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We talked about being like God, being like our Heavenly Father, and the first one we covered was being like God in love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the foundation of Christian thought. Becoming a Christian is a way of life. Being thankful is part of that way of life. Being thankful is who we are to be in all things. Final scripture, Hebrews 13. Final scripture, Hebrews 13. Society looks on next Thursday as a nice day to get the family together, wonderful thing. Saying some nice things, yeah, at least for one day a year. Watch a lot of football, there's 2 football games on usually. And then go buy things, Thursday night, Friday. They've missed the point about being thankful. They've missed the point about being thankful. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Being thankful not only benefits us as an individual. Being thankful not only benefits those around us. Being thankful is part of who we are as an identifier to the world around us. It is the will of God, but it also is well-pleasing to God. Being thankful is a sacrifice. And that means it takes time away from us, time away from our wants and needs, and focuses our thoughts on God and his mercy, our thoughts on God and his love, and our thoughts on God and his plan for all mankind. We've been given a great mandate from God, a challenging one, a difficult one, to be thankful for all things. Yet it is the will of God that we be thankful, even for fleas. Even if that's all we have. We're to be thankful for fleas. There is a direct benefit coming from being thankful. This is an important, identifiable Christian attribute that must be exercised daily. Let's make Thanksgiving, not just next Thursday, but every day, a daily event. It's been a pleasure. We'll be back December 5. Sue's not here. She's preparing for Thanksgiving.